there's something to early in the morning, getting out of your car. You just drove an hour. Now you're in Ashburn and you're going walking out to the practice field. But all of the employees there seem to really want to be there.
It goes a long way. Even if a consumer doesn't notice it per se, it still maybe makes you feel better, even though it's not like a conscious thing. It really matters. It does.
I enjoyed that part of it. Walking in, the first thing I noticed was they had an alumni tent set up where it looks like each day they have a different former player sit out there and sign autographs. So as you're walking in, there was a nice line of people in line to go meet with, get pictures and autographs from Gary Clark, Redskins legend. So I thought that was really cool. Then I walked up, got my roster, got situated in the media tent, went down to practice. And what I will tell you is, while the session was shorter than I anticipated, probably around 90 minutes, it was really, really hot. That was probably why. It was way more efficient, an easy word, of a practice than maybe I'm used to recently the last few years. But one of the examples Ben Standing of The Athletic has given that I actually noticed today and I think makes a lot of sense. You know, in the past, if there's three or four quarterbacks, you run three or four plays in a row and they all throw a pass. And there are plenty of drills this time where three or four guys are dropping back and throwing passes and they have three or four different receivers just running around for them to throw to. Just as an example of, here is a condensed way to get the same amount of work done.
Yep.
And that is just a symbolic way to acknowledge the efficiency. It seems like from talking to some of the reporters out there, there's a little bit more of a like a targeted, drilled portion of the day. You know, less just let's blow the whistle and play 11-on-11 football and a lot more detail on some of the drills and things. One of the things I found really interesting was today was the first day they've done one-on-ones. I don't really understand that or know why that's the case. But they put pads on. They didn't do one-on-ones that day. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, the first day you're in pads, you're doing one-on-one drills. O-line versus D-line, wide receivers versus corners. And if you don't do it that day, you're doing it the next day. Well, the next day, they were back to shells, which is also a little bit interesting as far as Dan Quinn's style. But to see one-on-ones today was a treat for me. And then to hear that they hadn't done that yet in practice, which a lot of times, I mean, you're just starting early in camp with one-on-ones. There's a very unique way they're going about this.
So the psychology may be playing into that, too. I have no idea. I just haven't talked to anybody about it. But maybe it's one of those things where you're looking forward to it a little extra after there's more anticipation for it. So to give guys something else to be juiced up about as you start to get into the doldrums of training camp practices and the heat and the like. Maybe it's an extra carrot to dangle. Because I'm sure guys are fired up about that, right? Like position groups going at it. The cornerbacks are yelling at the receivers and vice versa. D tackles and offensive linemen and such. Maybe that's something to it. But the guys putting their own stamp on it is always interesting. Like we do it this way because of whatever background I have in forming a team. It's interesting.
So I thought I could empty out the notebook a little bit here and just give you some thoughts, bounce them off. You see what you think. This was from my first chance to get to watch a training camp practice today. I should also point out to all of the listeners, and there were many of them who said hello today. A bunch of you guys, it's always flattering when you find out like how plugged in people are on the show. Everything from
it really is neat.
People joning on you not being there, or when's Danny going to leave his house, or you know, how much would you have to pay Danny to come here?
Those are the only interactions you had?
No, I mean, although there were plenty of those, I will say.
It's a great day at training camp. Everyone made fun of Danny the whole time. Like, no, what?
It was pretty good. I mean, just the idea of the shtick of like, Danny going to get to a game this year? You know, people that really understand the personality.
There's no, by the way. I'm not.
One guy was telling me if I went over to a certain area where they were selling the food, they had cups of meatballs. So, but it was just cool catching up with a bunch of listeners. But in addition to good energy from the crowd and people that were excited to be out there, onto the field and between the sidelines, Jaden Daniels was ultra impressive. It was hard for me to not get really excited standing there watching him, I will say. I had to keep reminding myself, this is not authentic to an NFL game, and there are going to be obstacles and challenges ahead of him still that we're not seeing yet. But I will tell you, he was exceptionally accurate. He made some tremendous throws, mostly impressive on lob stuff or touch throws. That's what I really liked because, you know, a lot of times, like even going back to Griffin in 2012, he had zip, he had velocity, he had a big arm, But with a young quarterback, sometimes those touch throws down the field or otherwise over the dropping zoning linebacker, those can be a little tougher. That's what really stood out to me about Jaden Daniels. I would say first thing, accuracy. Second, the ability to put touch on throws. I did not get to see many small window throws. And I'd be curious to know, if you're out there every day, how many of those there have been. I was asking around. And it seems like some guys said they're just the way that, you know, whatever they're running against the defenses they're getting, there haven't been a lot of, like, put this in that tire swing, basically. Yep. But watching him not just throw the football, but how he interacted with guys on the sidelines after reps as well. You know, he throws this nice touchdown everyone's been talking about to McLaurin. By the way, Terry cooks Emmanuel Forbes right off the line of scrimmage. I don't think he got a hand on him. Doesn't touch him. He beats him down the sideline. Jaden sees it and just kind of leads him into the end zone, drops it in the bucket. Right afterwards, they're chopping it up on the sideline, going over the play, what Jaden saw, what Terry saw, why he liked where he threw it and let him. But you saw that occasionally with Daniels. Just everything about the day was exciting and was impressive. Now, I will say this. It was very obvious to me that he has a great feel for what they're doing offensively. Just the command and dictating and pointing things out. I also think, and this is me from the outside looking in, I'm assuming this. Mm-hmm. I don't know this. I think he also probably has a really good idea right now of what the defense is doing. You get what I'm saying?
I do. That's actually an important distinction, by the way.
So, like, I think, which is, I'm not saying this is a negative. Like, I think he's smart, and he's now figured out a lot of the things they're doing in practice. And he probably also, he just knows, he's got access to that playbook too, right? But I also, like, I'm watching him and I'm going, I can't wait to see him against a defense he doesn't know. The Jets next week is the example, maybe in the preseason, but certainly in the practices, because I think he has a really good feel for the offense he's running. And it seems to me like the ball's never at risk. He's going to the right guy. I almost wonder if he also knows exactly what's coming defensively.
So that is interesting. And it's an important distinction, because the best analogy I can come up with just now on the fly is, it reminds me of math class in high school, right? Where I'm sitting there, I'm going, okay, I guess I see how those numbers make sense on the board. And okay, you're solving for X, no problem. Then when you get handed the test, if you don't truly understand everything about the material, you go, well, those aren't the same numbers I just saw. Those aren't the same numbers I worked on before with, and I was doing the problem on the board with the teacher, and I don't know how to apply it, right? You can know on this play, the receiver takes four steps and breaks right.
Exactly.
You can memorize that all you want, but what happens if he's, you know, I don't know, the defender's shaded to the outside, or you see a certain thing that you didn't anticipate, what happens then? And that paralysis can absolutely happen if you don't know everything.
Like, I was impressed today, immensely impressed. It was really, really cool to see him look like that. But if this would have been a joint practice against the Jets and he looked like that, my confidence
you'd go,
would
holy crap, yeah.
Spike. You know, I would, one practice does not really tell you anything anyway, but I would feel even more strongly about the fact that, you know, he's got a chance to play pretty well early in the season. One of the guys I caught up with today was Brandon Coleman. You'll hear that interview at 3 o'clock. By the way, Danny, I grabbed this interview with Coleman, the rookie offensive lineman they drafted in the third round. The aforementioned Emmanuel Forbes, who's in year two, kind of a make-or-break season for a former first-round pick. You'll hear that at 4:30. And then Nick Allegretti, who we loved having on the show. Awesome.
He was
former
great.
Chief, great talker. Really, really had a nice chat with him. You'll hear that at 5 o'clock today. So Coleman at 3, Forbes at 4:30, Allegretti at 5, if you want to hear those chats. But speaking of Coleman, I thought he was one of the stars of the day. I really liked what I saw. He is massive, first of all.
Yep.
Really, really big guy. His body is built more like a guard. He's kind of got that thick, you know, you see tackles now. There's not much of a gut to them. They're almost like tight ends in a way. They're just big, long, like lanky, long-armed athletes. He's got more of a guard build, and maybe that changes over time. I don't know if he's going to play guard or tackle, but he moves better than I thought. He played exclusively today at left tackle. He played with the first team. He's kind of got that traditional tackle length, despite the guard frame or the body that I talk about. And I came away feeling a lot better about him. Like, watching him at left tackle, he looked like he belonged. There wasn't a time, one-on-ones he was good, but even in 11-on-11s where I thought, oh, he just got cooked. Now, they don't really have an edge player that is either scary to practice against either, I don't think. Like, it's a lot of Cleveland Farrell, who's a run stuffer, or maybe some Dante Fowler is the one speed guy coming off the edge. But between that and the fact that the guy signed autograph for 45 minutes after practice, longer than anybody else, like he was just notable, and I noticed and just observed him really start to finish. And we've called him an X factor. We've thrown.
I think
that
even understates it. Yeah.
This idea that if he is a good left tackle, this draft class could potentially be a franchise altering group. And from what I saw today, and again, I'm not going to make a big observation on if he can play left tackle or not, but he was doing that in practice, and he looked the part. Absolutely.
That's really encouraging.
From a weak link.
Really encouraging. I mean, listen, obviously nobody's slamming the gavel one way or the other yet, good, bad. If he had a terrible day today, for your eyes, I don't think that would mean anything other than that's what it was. But I don't know if it's even possible to overstate his importance this year and beyond. Right, just it's to me again. What I've talked about so much about this is it's a gamble, right? I mean, I guess any signing would be a gamble, or any draft pick is certainly a gamble because of the number of busts or guys that don't work out in different places. But this is such an important position. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is one. Right behind it, it might be Brandon Coleman or whomever's playing left tackle. Like, no hyperbole here. Like, that is mission critical. And if they found it with a third rounder, like, put a little pep in your step, Adam Peters. You know what I mean? Like, skip around and challenge people to fights if you feel like it. Because you're right. I mean, how great would that be if he's legit? If they solve that need without really having to do much work on it. I mean, that'd be incredible.